Hello and welcome to Those Forking Fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy, book, TV, movie, pop culture, and how they integrate into our adult lives. I'm Christine.
And I'm Natasha.
And today we're doing a comfort episode. We're talking our favorite comfort movies, our favorite comfort TV shows for those days where you just really need something to pull you through your dark mood, your sad mood, whatever you're going through. Sometimes you need a cozy comfort show to help you through that time. So we're going to be talking about our top movies and TV shows for those eras of our life. I think we both have at least five comfort shows and five comfort movies. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to mix it up because I think we all have our classics. Like we've got Friends and Gilmore Girls and Parks and Rec. Like those are classics. If you haven't used those as your comfort shows yet, definitely do it. And New Girl and all that. But we're trying to mix it up, throw some other ones out there that maybe you haven't watched yet so that you have options.
I literally Googled last night, like, comfort TV shows.
You did?
I did. I just wanted to see, like, what were, like, the main ones. And the main ones are, like, Parks and Rec, New Girl, Friends, Gilmore Girls.
All the ones, like, I just said.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, everyone knows those comfort shows. Yes. So.
Yes, those are the go-tos. But, like, sometimes you've seen them too many times. Like, I have gotten to the point right now where I can't watch Friends as a comfort show because I've just seen it. I've seen every episode like 30 times and I rewatched it like last year and I'm like, I'm not ready to rewatch it again because I've already seen it 29 times before that. So in the chat, we have some of our patrons submitting like what their comfort shows are. Nicole says, does Buffy count as a classic comfort show? Because that's a big one of mine. And I think this is like, so there's like two categories of comfort shows, right? There's a comfort show that like you can watch right now and it's going to be comforting to anyone no matter, you know, if you've seen it or not. And then there's the nostalgic comfort show, because we all have shows that we watched when we were younger and at certain moments in our lives that made us feel really great and we loved them, but they don't necessarily apply as a comfort show to everyone, like Buffy or like the Vampire Diaries. Like, I don't think that's a comfort show for everyone. But like, if you watched it at the right time and you're rewatching, it can feel very comforting. Right.
Yes. Gabby said Supernatural for sure. And yeah, I've rewatched at least the first six seasons multiple times.
See, like for me, who hasn't watched Supernatural, when I was watching Supernatural, I was like, this is scary. We've got Glee, Being Human, The Nanny coming up after midnight. That's a show after midnight, Emily? So easy and funny to watch. I don't even know what that is. I've never heard of
Bella
it.
Bella Thorne?
I don't know. Taylor Tomlinson's late night show.
Oh, after midnight.
Oh my gosh. I haven't seen her show yet. I've watched all of her specials, but I haven't caught the show. All right. So before we get into that list, we are going to roll into Snap, Crackle, Pop Culture News as usual. Mm-hmm. All right. The first thing I have here is in Taylor Swift news. Today in Taylor Swift, she dropped another variation of pre-orders for the Tortured Poets Department. And it was, again, like a limited, you could only get it for like 48 hours. And this version was called the Albatross. Now, if you look up the albatross, like what it is metaphorically in literature, it's like a curse that prevents you from doing the things you want to do. Oh. Like an albatross around your neck.
Oh.
Yeah, that holds you back. So that's very interesting. Now, there was also a lot of people having pictures of an albatross next to her outfit from the Grammys, because an albatross is white with black on the edges of its wings.
Oh, okay.
And she was wearing a white dress with those black gloves. So it was like she was cosplaying as an albatross, which was really interesting. And there's a lot of people theorizing that she's doing the five stages of grief, because there's this diagram of the five stages of grief, and each one's like a different shade of sepia. And okay. if you line up her albums for like the first three, what is it, like sadness, anger, you know, the first three stages of grief match, those color tones match the sepia tones and / black and white tones of the first three album covers. So there's Manuscript, The Bolter, and Albatross now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there's theories that there'll be two more. We'll see. This is what's really frustrating about this. So I was on Deadline and I was like, oh my God, another version. I have to buy this. Like, I want to get it. Maybe I'll get it in like record form, so I'll have something else other than a CD because I have a record player. And then I hand in my draft. I go to buy it and it's already gone. I missed the window.
Okay. From someone who has no intention of buying all of these different versions, what is the pull to purchase all of these?
It because a little bit there's feels one like capitalism. Bonus song. It is capitalism. But also, there's a bonus song that's not on any of the other albums. And I don't want to wait 6 months to be able to listen to the bonus song. And I know... you could probably find it, but it's not the same as being able to listen to it on the album.
Okay.
I know. I was going to support that's her for no, real.
You don't need to buy every album because this woman is very rich. But yeah, I'm just, I never buy anything physical from her unless it's like maybe a sweatshirt or something. But
I bought The Bolter. I don't have Manuscript because I plan on getting that one from Target because I think that's going to be the main version. But I really liked, after looking up the Albatross, I really liked all of the meanings behind it. And I really want that song. And that's part of the reason. Also, it's a bird. I like birds.
So are you just going to like, so you only listen to the CD in your car. So after, if you want to listen to that one song, are you just going to take that CD out and then put the other version of it in?
Yes.
Oh my God.
You know, it's ridiculous though, because when you buy the CD at the store, they're like between $10 and $20. And when you buy it online, you end up being $30 for one CD because they're also charging you for shipping. Mm-hmm. I am very sad about that. Anyway, but like, okay, Olivia Rodrigo, right? For her album, she had like four bonus tracks that were only on the records.
Oh, yeah. We haven't even heard them yet.
Yeah, well, I just looked them up because I'm sick and tired of waiting for her to release the special edition of Guts. And she's singing Obsessed on the tour. So the Guts tour kicked off this week. That's also on the news doc. Mm-hmm. And so I went and found a link for Obsessed, but like, do you really want everyone downloading the songs that way when you could just release a special edition where we can listen streaming to the four new songs?
Exactly. That's why it doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
I feel like for her, it's been long enough. She should release it. Taylor, I can see like you want release week to be this big, exciting thing with all the different versions. But after that, like maybe just a month would be great before you release the edition with all of them instead of like forever.
Yeah.
Like we got the all night long till dawn edition of Midnights during the New Jersey events, which was in May, and the regular edition came out in October. So October, so November, December, January, February, March, April, May, 7 months.
Because wasn't The Lakes from Folklore a bonus song?
Yes, it was. But that came out pretty quickly. I don't think there was that much of a gap between the release. So
I think the thing is, like, people are going to buy the CD if they want the CD. Most people these days don't have like a CD player I don't even have one in my car. There's no point in me buying a CD where I can't even play it like easily unless I go buy. So it's like, people who want the CD will buy the CD, but you should release the songs at some point, or a fucking record player.
Well, the thing is, at some point, I think it should be sooner rather than later. Gabby says maybe Taylor will release them on Spotify after a couple of weeks or something, but like history has shown it's like months, not weeks, which I don't want it to be that long. I hate the idea of not having access and having to like look for them on the internet and like race till they, before they get taken down. I hate that. I hate it. Stresses me out. Anyway, that's today's Taylor Swift news. Also, she's been doing mashup songs for every single acoustic song in Australia. They're amazing.
There was one for Peace and what was the other?
There's been so many that they keep getting mixed up in my head now. Daylight, like the one with Daylight really hit me hard.
The one with Peace like made me cry because I love that song.
The one with This Is Me Trying made me emotional. Yeah. There's so many of them. They all have more than one song and they're all getting jumbled in our brains now because she hasn't just done one. She's done 24 songs over like four shows or eight shows. Like, it's wild.
Very wild.
So definitely look those up if you have been missing them, because they're all really beautiful. And she's, I feel like, prepping us for the story we're going into with Tortured Poets Department. Mm-hmm. So
I just have to say, I have so many people that I know and who follow me who are Australians. It is absolutely insane. I didn't realize that. And it's really cool. I got to see so many people go to the Eras Tour. I'm like, oh, that's fun. You're in your summertime and now you're going to see Taylor and I get to kind of relive it.
Our friend Tiernan was there the day that she did an amazing mashup that I can't even remember now because I'm all confused about mashups.
Yeah, me too. I know. I was like, I literally responded to him. I'm like, how the fuck did you get there?
Oh, he told me about it when we filmed together. And I was like, you're going to Sydney for Taylor Swift? It's amazing. He has a friend, I think, that's studying there. So he's going to stay with her, which didn't go with her, which is so cool. Anyway, that's today in Taylor Swift news and Olivia Rodrigo news. The Guts Tour has kicked off. Are you going to the Guts Tour or did you sell your ticket? I forget.
I have a reserved ticket with Kayla, but I haven't paid her. So,
okay.
Yeah.
When is it?
Not till August, like after your birthday.
Okay.
Okay. My bit of news is that Ryan Gosling is officially performing I'm Just Ken at the Oscars. This was announced yesterday. I'm so freaking excited.
I knew he was going to.
I know. They really waited until like the last minute because it's not for like, it's in 2 weeks.
All right. And then Beef Season 2 was, I mean, some information came out that Beef Season 2 is going to happen, which I'm excited about. We loved Beef Season 1. And Season 2 is going to revolve around two feuding couples. And those couples are played by Charles Melton and Kaylee Spaney. Yeah. And Jake Gyllenhaal and Anne Hathaway.
What?
Yeah. So exciting. Jake Gyllenhaal, Scarf Boy, is in it.
Oh,
with Anne.
They did a movie together that,
yeah, that one that was like drugs and
drugs.
Love. And
yeah,
it was depressing. I didn't like it.
No. But fuck, oh, Charles Melton. Oh, I love him.
Yeah, this was very exciting news. When I saw it on my feed, I was like, these are big names they got for Beef Season 2, which makes sense because Beef was amazing. So,
two feuding couples.
Yeah, I love it.
Interesting.
I love it.
All right.
Well, love it.
And for our last bit of news, there's a book coming out. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Book?
It's called Attached at the Hip. And
oh my God, I've heard of that.
It's by someone named Kristen Rococo. Maybe.
Please don't put that into the ether. Rococo. Is it Kristen Ritter?
Maybe. I don't know. But it's coming out on May 21st. Did I get that right?
So excited. You did. Yeah. You did. May 21st.
And it's a Survivor-esque rom-com where two characters are tethered and they're attached at the hip and have to do all the games and find love.
Compete for $1 million.
Compete for $1 million. And it's a really good time. And you guys should definitely pre-order it. It's, oh my God, it's like coming out in like 3 months,
I think. It's coming out so soon.
Holy moly. Yeah. Link is in the description.
The show notes. Yeah. Very exciting. Yeah, I'll have more to share hopefully very soon. I am excited. That's my book, guys. If this is your first time listening.
I was trying to like mix it up a bit.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you did. I'm an author. That's my book. Pre-order it, please. The link is in the description. The show notes. It comes out May 21st. Very excited. And people have been reading it and tagging me in all these like really sweet reviews this past weekend. And it was just making me so happy. So, Aww. Yeah, I was sending them to Natasha. I was like, look!
So cute.
Yeah, it's been great. All right. What right now? Natasha, what have you been reading this week?
Okay, I finished House of Flame and Shadow. I don't remember what day I finished it, but I finished it last week.
Last week. Yeah.
Yeah. I started Bride by Allie Hazelwood, and then I also started Hellbent by Leigh Bardugo.
So exciting. So
I'm reading Bride. I've never been so on par with both at the same time, but I'm reading Bride with my eyes and then I'm listening to Hellbent as I like sew and stuff. Okay, guys, Bride is fucking crack. I woke up this morning and my phone was like right there next to my head and I picked it up. And I started reading again. I was like, I just want to sit and read forever, but I have so many other adult things and I have to do.
Unfortunately,
it's so good. I tried to explain what the Omegaverse was to Christine. And it's not a,
I was like werewolves and women being in heat like dogs.
Yeah. And then we were in the car yesterday driving down with Taya and then her best friend Gabby, and Gabby's really into the Omegaverse too, and we tried to explain what the knot was to Taya. I'm not gonna explain it. It's really embarrassing.
You have to now. You have to explain it. How can you even bring it up without explaining what the knot is?
Okay, it's all a part of the Omegaverse, which the Omegaverse has always just been in like fan fiction and like some erotica books. Okay, you're right. So Bride isn't Omegaverse. Okay. It is. It's a werewolf shifter type of story. Omegaverse is like when you have like an alpha.
Calling it Omegaverse on the internet
because they have the knot in there, which I haven't gotten to.
Okay, what is the knot?
It's a weird sexual thing, an orgy.
Have I seen it in True Blood? Because I feel like I have.
No, you have not seen this in maybe. Oh, I don't know.
Do you not remember True Blood had a lot of orgies?
They did. It's not an orgy scene. Okay, it's literally when a man's dick, like.
Is in a knot.
It's a way. I don't know this. If I should say this.
Okay. You have to say it.
Okay. It's when the male or whatever, it could be male and male, but usually male and female, it gets locked in to the orifice and.
Which orifice?
Vagina.
Okay.
And then it stays there because the blood is like locked in there and it's knotted in.
Yeah. No.
And it could last for a very long time.
Like 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
But like just stuck, not having sex.
Like locked in. Yes.
Like they're just connected by vajaj and penis.
Uh-huh.
But not having sex. So they're just like stuck.
Yeah.
That's gross.
I haven't read it in a novel yet. I haven't
Tiffany
read it
says
in
it
this
can be
novel.
Longer.
Yeah, it can be longer. I looked this all up.
What the fork? This is so weird to think about reading in a novel.
Yes, and Gabby says, I'm pretty sure that's what happens with actual dogs too. Because that's why it's weird. Yes, they take it all from animals. It's a very animalistic, like, sexual thing.
Wow. All right. Well, that's the Omegaverse. Yep. What do you think of Hellbent, though? I found that to be like crack.
I really like Hellbent so far.
Are you not as far in?
I'm not as far in. I'm chapter 15. I'm pretty deep, but like not. I'm still like.
Have
in
they
the beginning.
Learned how to go down yet?
Yes. That's happening.
It's fucking wild.
Yeah, I'm like, it kind of makes me creeped out. Like, I had to stop a little bit.
I'll never forget reading that line where they're like, we have to die to control. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
I was like, what? All right. Anyway. So I will literally injure the dogs if you separate them when that happens.
Yeah, because like their blood is like, it's like literally locked in there. I know.
I don't like it. I don't like it. All right. Yeah. I don't know when the third book of the Hellbent series is coming out, but I am so excited for it. I'm so excited. I've been reading Iron Flame again. I forgot that I didn't finish Iron Flame. I was in this mourning period after finishing House of Flame and Shadow, and I was like, I don't know what to read. And I was like, wait. I opened up like my books app, and Iron Flame opened up, and I was like, oh, I forgot that I was just getting to the good part of Iron Flame when Hofas came out, and I was like, oh, sorry, Iron Flame. Bye. See you later. So I'm reading Iron Flame again.
Where are you
excited.
In Iron Flame? What chapter?
I am pretty far. I'm in, it's a heist chapter in the library. Do you remember?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
So
yes,
you're
yes.
still at, oh, you're at Basgaiath.
Yeah, but I call it Basgaiath.
What?
Basgaiath?
Basgaiath.
Basgaiath.
What the fuck is Basgaiath?
Ew, no!
It's Basgaiath. Come on.
Basgaiath. I've never said Basgaiath. There's so many extra noises you added into this.
It's Basgaiath.
Basgaiath. Okay, that looks like Basgaiath to me.
Basgaiath.
Why are you adding Gaiath?
Because that's how it's pronounced. That's how they say it in the audiobook.
Well, this is how I say it in my brain, Basgaiath. Kate, corrected me, so.
You're not always right.
I'm not saying I am. I'm saying this is how I pronounce it. And I am not going to be saying Basgaiath anytime soon. Maybe 10 years from now when there's an adaptation. All right. Anyway, what have you been watching movie-wise?
On Christine's recommendation, I watched Taylor Tomlinson's Have It All.
Yes!
And it was just perfect. So perfect and exactly perfect. What I'm going through. Because she's single right now.
Exactly
and
what
has
we're
been.
Both going through. Yeah. Yeah. And it was so funny. And
so funny.
So much about like how I've been writing about the same stage of life. So I was like, we are on the same page right now.
And no, God, there's so many little tidbits. Like she's like, yeah. And your married friends, they just want to go on those dating apps because it's so fun for them. And they get to go swipe, 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 swipe. Like it's a game. And I'm like, yeah, shut up. And then there's a whole story about Hugh Jackman that I was fucking dying at.
Oh my God. I knew you were going to like that.
Because I'm like, that's me.
Oh, it was really good. Definitely recommend watching it on Netflix. Y'all, Taylor Tomlinson is my favorite. She and Eliza Schlesinger are my two favorite comedians, and they both their most recent specials are on Netflix. Check them out.
What have you been watching?
I have been watching, I just watched The Holdovers yesterday, which was very sweet. And I just didn't know what to expect with like the storyline. I was like, where are we going this whole time? And it was really sweet. It's about two really very lonely, like a lonely teacher and a lonely boy who find solace together over the Christmas break when they have to stay back and not go with their, go to their families during the break at boarding school. And they both help each other feel less alone and feel more understood. And it's really nice. It takes place in 1970. For some reason, I thought it took place in the 50s. And I was like, what year in the 50s do you think this takes place on? When I was watching it with my neighbor. And then we saw like the... a year on something and it said 1970 and we were like, oh, you're wrong, Christina's like, yeah. Why did I think it was the 50s? Anyway, so I watched that. And what TV did you watch?
Oh, okay. Well, I've been watching Percy Jackson really slowly. I put it on.
Wait, when... I didn't know you were watching Percy. When I did know, you start?
Like 2 weeks ago when you were on...
What?
Yeah.
I got you to haven't like, even mentioned it.
I know, because I don't love it.
I thought that that was the case when I saw it on here. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you haven't read the book. So
I know. And but I feel like even if I didn't read the book, I feel like I should still enjoy it. But it's, I don't feel the chemistry with the kids. Like, I feel like they're, I feel like it's not working for me, at least.
Oh my gosh, I thought that they had great chemistry.
I didn't love it. Well, I haven't finished it yet, so I don't want to put, like, all my full thoughts down yet. But I am, Alex does not want to watch it. I can tell you that. I turned it on and I was enjoying it more than he was. And he's like, I'm not watching that show. So it's been a little hard to watch it because, you know.
Paul and I enjoyed it.
I'm glad you did.
I have a lot of feelings because I've read all of the books. Like, I could see maybe not getting as into it if I hadn't read all of the books. Well, I feel like, so attached.
I feel like also the pacing's rather fast for it being a TV show. Like, we got more. I love all the stuff with the mom. But I feel like... it, like, things are still going pretty quickly, even though it is a TV show. Because, like, the episodes are so short.
Some of them are long. Some of them are, like, an hour.
Oh.
But some of them are shorter.
Yeah, some of them were, like, 30 minutes. And I was like, what?
But that's really funny, because I thought sometimes it was going slow.
Okay. Well, we both have been watching Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yes, but we're not going to really discuss, because we're going to do an episode with Chloe, which we're excited about. But I am enjoying it so far a lot. Are you?
I am. I think as the episodes are going along, I'm liking it more because I'm getting more of a sense of like the characters. But some of it is a little, yeah, some of it's a little laughable because like I want it to be more camp than it actually is.
See, I loved the animation and I have such emotional feelings toward it because I watched it when I was like right after my dog had died. Mm-hmm. I guess I should talk about this when we do our episode, but like yeah. I just remember it so well, and I thought this was going to be bad, and then going into it I'm like, it's so good. Anyway, so I'm only on episode 4 though, so we will see how it goes and we'll just be discussing it soon. Okay, other TV shows we've been watching, though. Love is Blind is fucking more viral than ever before this season. If you haven't watched Love is Blind, this is a time to join the party, season 6. Mm-hmm. It's been a hoot with all the memes, and there's just so much scandalous shit coming out. That's crazy. And... okay, I started Mr. and Mrs. Smith and I love it. The TV show on Amazon. Like, I love Donald Glover and Maya. I don't know her last name. And
yeah,
they're great and I love their chemistry and I love how real their relationship feels in the situation of just being like spies and how they're dealing with it feels so real mm-hmm. and just like how it would be if two people were thrown together and they were like starting a job as spies. Like,
yes,
I feel like the writing is really well done with all their dialogue and their chemistry is really great. So I'm very excited to keep watching. I probably am going to have to finish that before I finish anything else because it's all I'm thinking about.
Wow.
I'm on episode 4 and it's like a double date episode and I'm so on edge. How much of it have you watched, Natasha?
I got to where they're into the skiing.
Okay. I'm past that episode. I think that's only episode 2 or something.
Three.
Or 3. That's episode 3. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Because that's when... Never mind.
Anyway.
Spoiler.
Don't say. I really like it. And I'm excited for more. And all right. I think that's all we've been watching. We're going to move into our main discussion. Mm-hmm. But before we do, we got to take a second to thank the listeners, y'all. Thank you so much for listening to the show. We appreciate all of you. If you don't already, we love it if you follow the show for free in your favorite podcasting app, whether that be the Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever floats your boat. There's lots of them. And if you don't know, we have a visual version of the show. We're on youtube.com/@thoseforkingfangirls. We have a video version of every single episode of the show. So you can, if you like it to watch, you can subscribe for free over there. We also have a Patreon. This is a viewer supported show. And on the Patreon, the first tier, you get the show ad free for $5 a month. Plus you get our extra show every single week, Fangirl Tea Time, where we dig into more personal, deeper topics that if you subscribe now, you get 64 extra half an hour shows at the end of every Fangirl Tea Time, every episode, Excel episode on the Patreon. There's a Fangirl Tea Time episode. And you also get to come to our recordings and be a part of the conversation live, which is so fun. We love our community in the chat. And we have 2 other tiers. We offer a free trial for our first tier, so you could try it for 7 days for free. There's annual subscriptions where you could save 16%. So that's like a month and a half less expensive than subscribing month to month. Lots of great stuff over there. If you don't know, also, we have a second show now called Chapter Chat. Every Thursday it comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're reading House of Flame and Shadow over there and discussing it in chunks of chapters. So definitely check that out if you haven't yet. And if you're not a patron, we'll be right back after these messages with our main discussion. And we're back!
Woo! I just have to say... Megan, yeah. Before we broke, said, I joined last month. She's a patron. And it was so fun going back and listening to all the past tea time. So much more context into y'all's lives. Thank you, Megan, for that review.
Thank you so much, Megan. Yeah. Also, if anyone is enjoying the show and wants to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, that's really helpful for helping people find the show. Megan, your review here is really helpful for just putting, I think that's really nice to have in here. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Reviewing the show is really helpful for us. If anybody's new here and you're enjoying the show, if you leave us a review, we really appreciate it. Maybe we should start reading like a review every time we do our little spiel.
Oh, yeah. That'd be fun.
All right. Let's get into our comfort shows, though. Okay. I have had a year personally, like these past 2 years has been solid comfort stuff. I'm finally like watching things again that aren't comfort shows, which has been really nice. But the comfort shows really helped me get through this really anxious past 2 years of my life. Mm. Natasha, let's start with shows since we're talking shows. Okay. What is your number one new age comfort show that isn't like Friends, Parks and Rec, Gilmore Girls, all of that?
Ooh, I mean, that has to go to Bridgerton.
Ooh.
Bridgerton is a constant rewatch. It is always looping. I haven't really rewatched Queen Charlotte because it's a little bit, it's not as comforting because it hurts a little bit more. It's
more dramatic. Yeah.
It's a little dramatic and it's a little sad at the end. And I full cried when I first watched it. No, Bridgerton season one, season two, always looping. Actually, I haven't watched it in like maybe a month. So I think it's time to rewatch again.
Yeah, but I rewatched it because you told me like it was your comfort show and I had so much fun rewatching. I think I rewatched it last year when I was sick and it was a beautiful time.
It's just like it's so good because it's just romantic and there's like a little bit of that angst in there that keeps you like, oh, on your edge of your seat. And like, I just forget, even though I watch it so many times, I still forget like how it makes me feel. And when that is the best part, cause I get so entwined with this story. It's not something I put on in the background. It's something that I actually sit and watch and I rewatch intentionally. What about you? What's been like your new age rewatch, you know, show?
This is going to sound weird, but the one that I've rewatched the most amount of times in the last 2 years is Emily in Paris. I find that show to be so light and comforting in a way.
Yeah.
Like, it's so silly. Like, like, I don't take it very seriously, but it always makes me like the romance parts. I think she just has so much chemistry with that French guy. Like,
yeah, yes.
It's off the charts. Okay. And all of their moments just make me so giggly. And I find Emily to be so ridiculous in like a hilarious way. Not anything. Like, I know some people get caught up in her ridiculous and annoyed by her, but I just find it so funny.
Like, no, I agree. I mean, besides like the initial first season where she's trying to be an influencer and it's kind of like it's annoying. A little icky and annoying. Everything else about the show is so fun, and then just the twists and turns, and like, and she's not, you know, she's flawed. She's so flawed.
Yeah, she's very flawed. Yes.
And you're just like, why? And I love the French like CEO lady.
Yes, I love Sylvie. And her relationship with her boss is very interesting. And the mentorship compared to the United States. Like, also, there's just a lot of cultural stuff that it's kind of blown out on the show. But like, also, it's real and it's funny to see them juxtaposed because Americans are so annoying in so many ways. Yes. When you juxtapose it against the French culture, it's very funny. Like when her boss from America comes to visit, it's just so funny because it's so real. Like it's a satire almost of Americans in a lot of ways. And I find that to be, I like when we can make fun of ourselves and be aware of how silly some of the things that we do are. Is Laura says, as a European, I felt a bit too cringy to watch it. And I completely see that. I think as an American, it's a different experience because I'm not seeing like the cringy stuff about Europe. I'm seeing the cringy stuff about America. And I find our cringy stuff to be really like funny to be called out on. But yeah, so that's become one of my like go-tos when I'm feeling really anxious. I just throw it on and I love the dynamic with the love triangle. I just have so much fun with it. What's next on your list?
Well, are we going, ask me another question of like, well, okay. Do you have a show on your list that is like old? I have some like old TV shows that bring me comfort.
Since I talk about the old ones so often, I didn't put many old ones on my list now because I like my old ones are Friends and New Girl and Gilmore Girls. Like I rewatched them so many times and I know everyone knows those ones. Yours are a little different, more like, you know, less talked about. So
yeah, I have one on here that I think I've only mentioned once in a YouTube video, like long time ago, but Alex and I were recently scrolling through, I think Amazon or something. And we saw a TV show that we saw the DVDs from when we were like children. We were, I think we were like in middle school, like seventh grade when we started watching this show. And I was so surprised to see that it was streaming. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's there. And it's called Northern Exposure. It's from the 90s. My mom loved this show, and it is about, the one of the main actors in it is John Colbert from Sex and the City.
What's it about?
And some are not okay. So
I'm picturing like people on a mountain dying of hypothermia.
So it's about this little town in Alaska, and it's like a slice of life type of show. And a doctor from New York, he gets hired to be the doctor of this town. And so we kind of follow his journey, and all of these, these people in the town are
like townies.
Yeah. Are like big characters and big personalities. And it's just him going through life, learning about himself. He's kind of like,
yeah,
he's really grumpy, and then
big
there's
city
a really
guy in small city, small town.
And nice. There is a slow burn romance, I think, that goes on for 3-4 seasons and like continues on, and it's just so good. It's so fun. We rewatched the show, I think, probably 5 times. I mean, we still have the DVDs from it.
Where is it streaming?
We saw it on Amazon, but it might be on one of those like MGM Plus like additives. But I remember seeing it on Amazon. It might just be on Prime, but I'm not sure. But it's called Northern Exposure, and
it sounds fun.
It's really fun, and the music's really good. It's on Prime. Mad says, OMG, my mother-in-law is rewatching it right now because she also used to watch it. That's so funny. Yeah. I haven't rewatched it, I think, probably in 15 years. But
oh, wow.
I feel
it's been
like
a while.
I know. I want to rewatch it. Now that I know it's on Prime, because we don't have a DVD player, I think I'm going to start, Alex and I are going to start rewatching it, because it'll be a nice comfort show. But yeah, I think I've seen that show too many times, honestly.
Yeah. One that I thought would feel like a comfort show, because I used to love this show, and it started streaming on Netflix, and I like couldn't get into it again in a comforting way, was that 70s show, because I was like there's a lot in it that I'm like, now.
Yeah, that was like me trying to watch Ugly Betty.
Yeah. I love those actors, except for the ones I don't love, but I love like Mila and Eric and Donna and Ashton, but like, yeah, I couldn't rewatch it feeling the same way. All right, the next one that I have been rewatching a lot is The Summer I Turned Pretty. Like, that has become such a comfort show for me. And it's one that I wouldn't expect to be a comfort show, because it does have some sad drama going on. But I just find the setting and the relationships to be so homey and comforting. And I think maybe that depends on like how you grew up. If you grew up like on a beach setting like that, maybe that's why I think I find so much comfort in it. But
I mean, yeah, it brings me back to like the high school days when you just had these burning crushes and you got to spend time. Like, it brings me back to when I was like at church and doing camp and all that, and going to the beach and having my brother's friends over. And
it's our favorite trope, the brothers. Like, like, I can't get enough of that trope. It's so fun. So
I can't remember, Christine. I once yelled to someone. Maybe you were there with me, but I was like, we love brother love triangles.
Yes.
And then everyone's like, ew, what? And we're like, no.
Yeah, and you didn't explain it right. You're like, we love brothers. The brother trope.
I think maybe it was Taya. I don't know. Two brothers who are not related
like in
to
love
us.
With the same girl. Oh my God. Yeah, it was like an awkward, like, misunderstanding of what you were saying. But yeah, the summer I turned pretty, I literally like would watch a new episode and then just watch it again the next day. And then the season ended and I watched the season again after having watched every episode twice while it was airing.
I have been like recently wanting to, I put the summer I turned pretty on my list as well. Cause I knew you were going to talk about it.
Okay.
No, I fully agree. Even though there's like parental death, which is hard for me. I think it's done in a way that it's not as sad as it could be.
And
I think I find comfort in that too, because they still have this other family that is there for them.
Yeah.
But no, I've rewatched. I only like to rewatch it though, like during the warmer months. It's not something that I definitely rewatch during the colder months because I
have like a seasonal comfort show thing going on.
Yeah. Gilmore Girls is the fall. Summer I Turn Pretty is like the summer.
The summer.
Bridgerton is for spring. Bridgerton's all the time, but Bridgerton is spring. What's winter.
For me, seasons don't mean anything. like it's all about like what characters am I craving right now? Like what kind of relationship tropes do I want?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So do you want to go or?
I'll go next again. All right. Yeah. So one I put on here, which I didn't really think about until like last minute, but it's this show that I rewatch all the time because it's delivered in such like a nice bite-sized manner, and that's Fleabag. If someone hasn't watched it, I'm like, let's watch it, do it, put it on now,
just put it on. Yeah.
It's so good.
It's perfect.
And it wraps, like, I wanted more for sure, but I'm also satisfied with how it wraps up.
Season two is so perfect.
Yeah.
It's everything. I mean, season one's fantastic too, but season two, the chemistry. It's so perfect. It's so good. This trope, I love it so much. Like, she's falling in love with a priest. They're both falling in love with each other. He's a Catholic priest and he's not allowed. He's supposed to be celibate. And it's like, she is so good at doing the ultimate forbidden love. Like that is Phoebe Walter Bridge's thing. Like she also is behind, she's one of the writers on Killing Eve. And Killing Eve is also, yes. Such forbidden love with the serial killer and the MI6 agent that's hunting her. Like these situations are so wild and they make for the best burning forbidden love stories.
Yeah, I agree. It's it's so funny. And I laugh at all the same places and different places because I get something else out of the writing. It's
hilarious. Perfect. The writing is it's just one of those shows that like will be worshipped by comedy lovers for the rest of time. She breaks the fourth wall in the best way. It's perfect, and I watch it in awe every time, and every time I watch it, like I wish I was a part of this creative team.
I'm upset that I wasn't in on making it because it's like everything I've ever wanted in a show. Mm-hmm. All right, what's next for you?
The next one I have on my list is one I haven't rewatched many times. I've watched it twice, and it's Ted Lasso. And I think this is a great show for anyone who is going through something that's really anxiety ridden right now. It's so sweet and heartwarming and just always brings things back around to love and kindness. Mm-hmm. And there's three seasons and you're just going to be surprised by how much you fall in love with it. I think it's one of those shows that you don't realize is going to be like that. And it hits you in the feels in so many beautiful ways.
Yeah.
And the good feels, and like the warm fuzzy feels. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's so sweet.
This one.
Yeah. It's on Apple TV and it's so good. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why it won so many awards. It's beautiful.
Okay. I have X-Files on here because
that's like one of those nostalgic ones, because I don't think I would find comfort in it.
No. This is definitely a nostalgic one for me, but you know, Alex and I started rewatching it. It's just so long. Like, they don't make TV shows like this anymore where it's like 30 fucking episodes. But it's just like, if you can just put on an episode and just enjoy it, because like Mulder and Scully, their chemistry is so good. It's funny and dry at the same time. And it's just interesting, the way that they've like weave these characters in. And also, like, Gillian Anderson is just such a treasure to the acting world. Everything she does is just gold. Okay. Fucking
she's so
love.
Beautiful.
She's so beautiful. Like, what the fuck? I hope
those eyes. I get lost in her eyes.
Oh, like, I hope that I age like her. Like, she
has
stunning.
Aged so beautifully.
I know. gosh, but like, this is, you know, her prime, but still, like, she's so young. This was her first role, and you really
how
just get
old
to,
is she in this?
I think she's
like 20s.
She got the role, I think, at 25.
Wow.
I think it was the first episode, and she like had a baby like through the second season, and like that was like her first child, and but like. Yeah, her and David Duchovny just have like this amazing chemistry, and it's like my Kate Winslet and Leo DiCaprio is David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson.
Nice.
Yeah, and even if you don't want to watch the show, you should rewatch the movie, because the movie has all of that, but like in a nice format.
I didn't know there was.
Yes, there's a movie in between seasons 5 and 6.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. 6 seasons and a movie? They have the dream.
They did it. Like, X-Files was one of the like besides Star Trek, but X-Files was one of those like really popular, intensely successful TV shows. And not only so they had 6 seasons and a movie, but then they ended on season 9, and then they made another movie like 5-6 years later, which wasn't very good. And then they brought it back again for fucking season 10, which I think has 12 episodes, which was really good and really fun. And I really enjoyed that. Was like in 2018.
Yeah, that was 2016 or something. Oh, yeah. It was like recent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, next on my list, I rewatched this show 3 times already, and that's The Sex Lives of College Girls. It is so rewatchable and so funny. I put it on for the 3rd time just like 2 months ago, and I blew through it in like 5 seconds. It's so fun. Like, I love all their different relationships, and they're so funny. Like, these women have so much chemistry together. The writing is fantastic, and I pick up on all these little jokes that like maybe I missed the first time, because there's so many jokes from like every random character. We'll just say things that are hilarious. So this is a Mindy Kaling show. I love Mindy's writing. I think she's hilarious, and this is no exception. And it's so funny to have like, there's these just like, there's this scene with like a basketball team, and like they randomly talk about like a book club at one point that I completely missed the first 2 times I watched it. This 3rd time, I just found it so hilarious that this like jock was randomly commenting about how he has book club.
Oh.
And it was like, and the book club was scheduled and it had to be canceled for like the girls event that they were planning. He's like, what am I just supposed to read this and not talk about it? And just like stuff like that is just all sprinkled through it, like stuff that I feel like people like us who love reading and pop culture would really appreciate. Yeah, so that's on Max right now.
Yes. Oh, I've got one more. All right,
give it to us.
This is all right, so this is any and every Jane Austen adaptation ever created.
ever created?
Ever created. So mainly I want to talk about Sanditon, which has three seasons, and it is Jane Austen's unfinished novel. I've talked about it before.
Yes, you have.
But this is another, this is like if Bridgerton was not spicy. And it's got a lot of
it's like Downton.
Yeah, it's like Downton Abbey. It's like pining love. Nothing like too horrible happens. Well, I mean, Theo James doesn't come back, and so just be aware of that.
Theo James is also in Sanditon?
Yes, he's in the first season.
What the fuck? Yeah. He dies in the first episode of Downton too.
That's weird. He doesn't want to. So what happened was Sanditon got canceled. They brought it back for season two, and then brought it back again for season three. Theo James did not want to come back. He's like, I signed up for one season. That's it.
All right.
That's what happened. All right. That's my main thing. But yes, I rewatch literally everything over and over and over again. If it's something I haven't seen in a while, I'll rewatch like the BBC Pride and Prejudice. I'll rewatch like Emma, the BBC Emma, like all of that shit all the time.
Nice. All right. The next one, I have two more on my TV list here because I guess we shared The Summer Turned Pretty, but I have Hacks on this list. I absolutely love Hacks. This was just like The Summer I Turned Pretty for me. I would watch it and then watch it again the next day. And then the season ended and I watched the season again. There's two seasons of Hacks. I've talked about it before. It's one of my favorite shows. I hope it gets a third season. I mean, it's critically acclaimed and I haven't heard anything about the third season, but it's about an older comedian and she hasn't changed up her act in a really long time. She's just had a running show in Vegas. And then there's a 25-year-old writer who is out of work, and her manager is the same manager as this comedian, and the manager connects them and it's like, you need a writer. And she's like, I don't need a fucking writer. And then he sends the writer to go meet with her. And the writer thinks that she's going to interview for a job as her writer. Mm-hmm. And this comedian, she just shows up at her house and she's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I didn't ask for a writer. Jimmy, what the fuck? Like, she calls her agent and he's like, just talk to her. You do need a writer. You need help. And it's very funny. And their relationship evolves to be this really sweet, sometimes volatile partnership, friendship, mentorship. And I love it so much. And it's so satisfying and rewarding to watch their arcs. And
have you rewatched it a bunch?
Yes. I've seen, I think, all the episodes at least twice. I think I watched season two twice and season one three times. I want to watch it again though, because it's been like a year and I miss it. I gotta look it up and see if a third season's coming. Okay. And my last TV show before we like go to movies here is Sex Education. And you would never think from the name Sex Education that this show is going to be like the most heartwarming, fun, bright, colorful, just amazingly so written show. And it is, and it's so heartwarming. Like, it's so sweet. And if you haven't watched it yet, I highly recommend it. There are four seasons now and it's over. The fourth season was the final season on Netflix. It's so rewatchable. It's so watchable. It's so, the characters are so great. Gillian Anderson, this is how I know her. She plays the mom in Sex Education. She's a sex therapist and she's fantastic in it. The mother son relationship she has is so fun. And the relationship between Otis and all of his friends is so fun. And I love the love story with him and Maeve. And I just love everything about it. It's so great. And I've rewatched every season like a year after it's aired. I'm like, okay, it's time to rewatch Sex Ed.
I have not rewatched this one yet, but I want to.
Yeah, I love it. So much. All right. So those are our shows that are like new age comfort shows. But sometimes you just want like a 2-hour escape that's going to make you feel warm and fuzzy and cozy. And that's where movies come in. Natasha, what's on your movie list?
I have Silver Linings Playbook.
Yes.
Uh-huh. That I've rewatched this movie way too many times.
I've rewatched it like 5 times.
Yes. And usually it's on Netflix. So it's an easy one to like just pick up and watch.
Access.
But like it's classic J-Law and she's so young.
And Bradley.
And Bradley Cooper. Like it's just so good. Like I'll never forget when he throws the book out of the window and I'm like, oh my gosh, I've felt those so feelings relatable. Too.
And it's so funny.
It's so funny.
He runs into his parents' room to talk about how he hated the book. It's such like a 10-year-old reaction, but I love it because we've all had that feeling. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Yeah, it's the first exploration of like, I feel like destigmatizing mental health issues in the like this new era. You know what I mean? Like,
because it came out in like 2013.
It came out like 2012, 2013. And we were that was before we really were talking about mental health in the way that we are today. Like we were just kind of getting into it. So to have the lead to people in a love story, both be struggling through mental health issues together. It was really different and fresh and new and relatable to, I think, a lot of people in ways we hadn't seen on screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it is. And it's fun to see them.
I love their dynamic.
Yeah. And we'll also like supporting each other in different ways.
Yeah. Yeah. And they understand each other in ways that no one else in their lives understand them right now, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm. All right. What's one of yours?
All right. One of mine is Miss Congeniality. I feel like I've talked about it a lot, but it will forever be a comfort watch for me. I know like every line of that movie and I love everything about it. I just love this kick-ass lady who thought that femininity was some sort of weakness. I love her learning how these women are strong and capable and smart in these different ways that she just never was made privy to because of like the patriarchal just undertone of society, you know? Mm-hmm. It's easy to get caught up in that and trying to fit that mold so that you're not considered silly by like the men telling you these women are silly. And the way that she forms these new bonds with all these beautiful women is so great to watch. And then her being able to share like her specific skill set to help them is beautiful as well. Mm-hmm. I just love it so much.
No, it's so good. It's my favorite. Mm-hmm. And it's like so fun. I always love the outfits too.
Yes. Yes. Me too. I love it. And the comedy is beautiful. I love it.
Okay. Next on my list is The Holiday.
Yes.
It's a Christmas movie, but like seriously.
Favorite Christmas movie.
I don't care. I'll rewatch it, you know, during the season. Like I'll start in October and start rewatching it. Every year though, it's watched at least twice or three times.
We did a commentary for The Holiday.
We did.
That's
on our Patreon if you want to go check it out.
On our Patreon. It is indeed.
Goodness, yeah. It's also like just nostalgic too, because I think it came out when I was really young, but I think I watched it like in high school. Mm-hmm. And the music and just the acting and the story. And
yeah.
It's so comforting.
I love that trope so much. I used it in my second book, Better Together. Mm-hmm. It's like The Holiday meets The Parent Trap. Mm-hmm. Like if the girls were older and they were doing The Holiday.
Switching lives.
Yeah, if you don't know, it's Cameron Diaz and Kate Winslet switching lives. And it's so fun. Mm-hmm. And Jude Law is so attractive in it.
Oh, he's so pretty.
Yes. The next one on my list is another Sandra Bullock. She's just so comforting to me. Yeah. The Proposal and Ryan Reynolds, my favorite.
I had this on my list, but I was like, you know what? She's going to talk about it. So I'm going to save it.
It's so weird to me. I know I've talked about this before. I didn't like this movie the first time I watched it. I think it's because I didn't know Ryan Reynolds and like I just wasn't in the right mood, I guess. Like, I don't know. But now I can watch it whenever, wherever, and have so much fun. Like,
yeah,
I just have the best time every time I put The Proposal on. It's so light and fluffy, and I feel like it could always make you feel better. Mm-hmm. No. What's next for you?
I have Bridget Jones' Diary.
Ooh.
With Renee Zellweger. Mm-hmm. This is another like Pride and Prejudice retelling.
Of course.
Yes. But this movie's so fucking funny. And it also just, every time like the end happens with Colin Firth, I just get like the warm, fuzzy feelings. And it's my favorite. And I don't love number two as much, but number three is really funny too.
Dempsey. Number three, yeah. The baby. Bridget Jones's baby is so good. It's so funny. So I honestly find it funnier than the first one. Yes. I think like laugh out loud funnier. Yeah.
They're doing a fourth.
What? Yes. Tiffany, when are they doing a fourth? Who's in it? Is it everyone?
I don't know, but.
They just announced it, she says. Oh my God. That's so exciting.
Yay.
Wow. Okay. All right. Next on my list is The Parent Trap. Again, love it so much. Mm-hmm. Put the trope in my second novel, Better Together. I've seen The Parent Trap an innumerable times as a child. It was one of those movies that, you know, as a child, you watch over and over. That was The Parent Trap for me. And I watched it when I was like, it was 97. So I was like 6 or 7 years old. And all of it is so deeply ingrained into like my DNA. It's one of those movies that like became a part of me and the soundtrack became a part of me. Like it's such a good soundtrack. And all of those songs just make me feel good. Like there she goes. And
there she goes.
L is for the way look. And here comes the sun. Na, 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 na. Like the whole soundtrack, you put on any song and I just, it takes me right back. And I feel so happy. And like the one that's playing, I think maybe it's Here Comes the Sun. Or, you know, there's a song that's playing when they're doing that bridal photo shoot. I can't bring it up right now. Like that song always warms my heart.
Yeah. I mean, Natasha Richardson is the mom in this.
Yes.
And she
everlasting
is so,
love. Oh, yes. Sorry. Go ahead.
She's just so effortless and just cozy in her, in just the, like, she's such like a
so
comforting,
warm
mom figure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and same really with Dennis Quaid too.
Yeah, he is. He has that same vibe.
Yeah. It's just so good.
I love it so much. Mm-hmm. And like the hijinks with the stepmom, I just found them so fun to see. Because when you're a child, you feel so powerless. And to see these girls take this power into their own hands and actually make a difference in like their parents' lives, that's like unheard of as a kid. That's why I think this movie also really made me feel so good, because it felt like the kids had power in their family dynamic. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I felt so out of control in that realm.
Mm-hmm. I love that they were twins too.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like in the beginning, they don't think they're twins. And they're like, so you like Oreos and peanut butter, and you're born on October 12th, and you're allergic to strawberries. And you have half a picture, and I have half a picture. We're like sisters.
Also, for so long, I thought like Lindsay Lohan was a twin.
Oh, I knew about it. I thought it was the coolest technology ever. I was like, she's the best actress I've ever seen.
Oh my God. Okay, this might not be a comfort movie for everyone. I had to put on The Last Jedi because I fucking rewatched this movie so many times, and it's everything that I love. I love watching my two favorite people have this like budding chemistry. So fun for me to watch. And I every time I'm like, oh, I can't wait to get to the red room scene.
That's literally the only scene I want to watch. Like, I tried to rewatch this for those feelings, and I was like, oh, there's so much space stuff in between.
I love all the space stuff, and
the
I love
Raylo stuff.
Yeah. Sometimes I will just like fast forward through Finn and Rose's bits, but I don't mind those bits either. But
well, I don't want to see anything except the scenes that are Raylo. I want like a compilation of the Raylo scenes to watch.
I agree with that statement. I think we can find that on YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah. That red room scene was so amazing. Mm-hmm. Well, the first time watching it, I was just like, ah!
I'm like, he grabbed her hip. Oh my God. But even then, I will never forget being in the movie theater and knowing that they were having like this bond happen. I was like, what?
The talking to each other, like the cadre. I think it's called cadre in Throne of Glass when they're like connected that way. I remember thinking about the connection between Rowan and Aelin. Oh yeah, you haven't gotten to that part.
Did that happen after Last Jedi or did it happen before?
That happened before. Mm. I read those books before. The Last Jedi, though, I just remember thinking like, this is so good. Best Star Wars movie ever. And then I came out of it and all the men were like fucking shitting all over it. And yeah. I was like, oh my God, I thought everyone was gonna love it.
I know. I was like, I really liked it.
I loved it so much. Mm-hmm. But looking, when I rewatch, I do think I can rewatch the first one easier because there's more character stuff than space stuff.
Yeah, I feel that. Mm-hmm. I feel that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. It's my turn. Mm-hmm. Is it my turn? Okay. These movies are like the biggest comfort movies for me ever. I've watched them so many times. I just forget that they exist. And then I watch it whenever I see it. Like whenever it's on, I'll watch the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Pitch Perfect 1 and Pitch Perfect 2.
Okay.
I love these movies so much. I love all the music. Like I get the Pitch Perfect versions of songs stuck in my head. I will just sing the riff offs. Like I can't ever get tired of them. Like this movie comes on and I watch it and I just can't help getting so excited and like wanting to sing and dance with them. And I think they're so funny. Mm. Yeah. Pitch Perfect 3 is unhinged and bad. Don't watch Pitch Perfect 3. It's just Pitch Perfect 2 and 1 that exist. Pitch Perfect 3 is a hot mess of nothing. But the first two are so good and so lovable. And so I just find them so empowering. Like when they do their competitions, I just feel so empowered. And like their riff offs, I get so giddy during those fucking riff offs. I love a good competition that makes me feel like giddy and thrilled for the underdogs.
I just never loved these films. I don't know.
What?
Yeah.
How? Oh my God.
They were never my favorite. I don't know.
Pitch Perfect 1 used to be on TV all the time while I was doing like my merch shop. And I swear I watched it at least like 6 times while I was packing merch. Because that would get me through like all of the, because it gets so monotonous doing the merch label printing and stuff. Yeah. And that would get me through it, just having Pitch Perfect done in the background. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yep. Okay, what's next for you? Got 2 left.
I've got 3 left, but
I'll be quick.
I have 7 on here because I was like, I can't. Yeah, yeah. All right. Number 3 is Kissing Booth, the first one.
Nice. Nice.
This is a movie that we will rewatch all the time. I just love it. And I love the friendship and I love the little steamy scenes with Joey King and what's his name? Jacob Elordi. Yeah. It's just nice. It's just a guilty pleasure for me. This one's guilty pleasure, but this is my comfort movie because I just, it's like high school, but also kind of spicy.
My number two here is my like secret favorites that I never want to watch with anyone else. I just will watch them alone. And it's the Before Sunrise trilogy. So it's Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, and Before Midnight. I love them so much.
I want to watch them.
Yeah, you should watch them and then tell me about them after if you like them.
Okay.
This is like my dream movie. Like I would love to be able to just write a movie about people falling in love and like talking about all of these different aspects of like the way they think about life and like walking around a city and experiencing a city together and just like being spontaneous together. It's my favorite. And like, that's my favorite part of my own books is like writing my characters, like exploring a new place and talking about stuff in their lives, like having deep conversations and having chemistry together and like falling in love. And I had never seen a movie like this where like we just get to watch two people explore a city and fall in love and like have amazing conversations. Like I was like, you're allowed to make a movie with just two main characters falling in love as they like wander through a city? Like, this is amazing. And then the way that they, and I didn't know that there were two other movies after I watched the first one, and then to discover that there was another sequel that takes place 10 years later in their lives, and then another one. It's just like,
that's crazy. Never been done before.
Cool. Yeah. It's just like Boyhood. Like they took a really long time filming Boyhood so that the actors would like age with the story. Mm-hmm. And this is the same thing. We like check in on these two people 10 years later and then 10 years later again. And I hope they do a fourth one because I love it so much.
I feel like I heard that they were going to do a fourth one.
I feel like I heard it too, but like it was just both of them being like, yeah, we're down to do it. I don't know if they were actually ready to do it, but it's time. Like it's 1994, 2004, and 2014. So this is the year. I didn't even realize where this is the year until I'm talking about right now.
Four decades.
How amazing would it be if they dropped that?
That's crazy. Yeah. I want to watch them. Okay. Yeah. My number two is Twilight. I had to put this down here. I've watched this movie like 500 times. It was my comfort movie.
Of course. Every day for a year.
every day for a year. It's a little harder for me to just put this guy on just like haphazardly because I have to prepare myself for the nostalgic rush that I get.
Yeah.
And I really only like watching this like during the Hoa Hoa season. And
Hoa
then,
Hoa?
Ha 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 ha.
What the fuck does that mean? It's just a song.
Yeah. Okay. It's become a thing now on TikTok because it's like when the first rain sets in, everyone's like this feels like Twilight.
Oh my god.
So we all call it Hoa Hoa season now on the internet.
But what is it? Just rain?
Yes, it's just rain.
It's now? This is our rain season?
No. Yeah. So yeah, it's really used in like November and in like October. All right,
so Twilight season. That's Twilight season.
It's Twilight season.
That's not Hoa Hoa season.
Okay, but this is a new term that you need to know. Okay. Got it? Miss, I'm not chronically online. I understand. Okay, I am.
I'm not chronically on TikTok. I am chronically online. I am online 24/7. I live on the internet. I just don't live on TikTok.
I am chronically on TikTok and this is what we call Twilight season now. Hoa Hoa season.
Oh my god.
Yes, so Twilight is my comfort movie. Actually, I don't love always finishing the movie because I don't really like how I love the movie, but then anyway, I don't know. Cause if I finish the movie, then I feel like I need to keep watching the others. Cause it's just like crack.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. The last movie on my list is 17 again. Again, I love this random magic second chance at life trope. Mm-hmm. Again, I put it in my own book. My first novel has this trope. It's my favorite. And I love 17 again so much. I love Zac Efron in that movie so much. Matthew Perry in that movie so much. I just think they both do a great job. Zac Efron masters the Chandler Bing, like in every way in this movie. He is peak Zefron. I know I've talked about this a lot and it's very funny. Like the movie has such great comedy.
I need to rewatch this one again. It's been too long.
I've seen it so many times. I just rewatched it like a month ago.
I gotta watch
what's
it.
What's last on your list?
Last one, I think everyone can probably guess. It's Pride and Prejudice.
This is a gimme.
Of course. I recently, so I think I told everyone on the podcast, but I recently put out the vlog of me showing this movie to Taya officially because she didn't really... I tried to make her watch on my birthday last year and we were doing like arts and crafts and getting ready for like my tea party. But we actually sat down and watched it and it was so satisfying watching her fucking die over this movie. And then the next day she texted me, she's like, can we watch it again? And I was like, I just feel so satisfied that she loved it so much. And it's a movie that I can rewatch all the time. I'll put it on one day and I'll rewatch it the next. It just makes me feel all the good feels.
Good. Yeah, everybody has that one movie, like your Pride and Prejudice, and that they can put on at any time. And it's so comforting. And I feel like anyone who doesn't have it is missing out on how cozy it is to rewatch your fave, but maybe they just don't have anxiety. Because this is really something I developed when I guess through anxiety.
I mean, bitch, I have been rewatching these movies since I was in high school, so I think it's a trauma response.
Anxious shit. Yeah. I mean, so is anxiety, is a trauma response.
True. Yeah.
That's what anxiety is. Anyway, those are our comfort movies. We'd love to hear yours. If you're not following us on Instagram yet, you should, and leave your comfort movie in the comments of our post about this episode, because we would love to hear them. I think everyone could always use another one, because sometimes you need a new one and you can't figure it out, and it's the most frustrating moment when you're sitting there like, I need a comfort movie and I don't know what to put on. Like, so sharing yours is helpful, I'm sure, to somebody who's looking in the comments, and to us, who will definitely be looking in the comments.
Nicole said my husband does not understand the concept of comfort shows or movies. Haha. He'll rewatch The Office sometimes, but he does not get why I'm always rewatching things when I'm anxious.
Does he like have a really healthy mindset or something? Oh my God. He had a really great childhood. He's like a stable adult. Anyway, that is going to be our show today. Oh, wait. We have Mary Kiss Cliff. Hold on. All right. So today I put together this Mary Kiss Cliff. Mary Kiss Cliff, a Christmas tree, dyed eggs, or a live turkey.
What is it, the now, holiday season?
These are different holiday things. And it's basically like, what would you keep in your house all the time? What would you keep in your house for a week? And what would you murder?
Well, we all know what you're going to keep in your house the whole time if you're watching the video feed.
If I had to pick it, it'd probably be the tree, but I don't want it.
Are the dyed eggs like real eggs?
Yeah.
Ew. Okay, well,
I
guess I'm going to have to pick a Christmas tree, but I'm going to make it like a little one, and I'm going to change it out for every holiday. I'm going to make it a Valentine's tree. I'm going to make it a St. Patrick's tree. I'll make it an Easter tree and then a Halloween tree. So I'll pick
that.
What
are you going to kiss?
I guess the dyed eggs. I don't like.
It's giving red, white, and royal blue, Larsa.
And then sorry, turkey, but you're gonna die.
Turkey gobbling in the corner, yeah. Threateningly.
That's my gobble.
Yeah, the turkey probably has to be murdered, and then you can enjoy it for eating. But I wouldn't want to do that myself. So definitely clipping the turkey. Murder can be so festive.
Oh, no.
Oh my god. So that's our show this week. Thank you all so much for listening. If you don't already, you can follow us on Instagram at Those Forking Fangirls, on TikTok at Those Forking Fangirls. Our show is edited by Alex Polis and Jake Needham, with music by Cole Jenkins and vocals by Heather Traska. Our socials are run by Chloe Laverson. She's amazing. Make sure you're following us to be updated. Our show drops every Friday, and Chapter Chat drops every Thursday. Mm-hmm. And our Patreon is linked in the description. We are going to go record Fangirl Tea Time. So that'll be available for Team Jacob and Up. Today we're talking stuff that's happened in the last week, and we're going to be discussing kind of like how religion has affected our mindsets as adulthood when it comes to like feeling guilty about random stuff. We kind of started this discussion last week, and we feel like we've got more on the topic.
That's a baseline. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that it'll be available at the link of the Patreon in the description. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.